This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once-a-week, only-on-Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill. This is our monthly Fun Fact Friday Ask Bill episode, where I answer specific real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through some of the online portals that we frequent, like BiggerPockets.com or Quora.com. And one of our goals here at the Old Dogs REI Network is to help educate and enlighten fellow real estate investors, to share what little knowledge I have here, answering your questions, and to help other investors to broaden their understanding of real estate investing, and to hopefully avoid some of the mistakes that I have committed time and time again, and that can cost you later down the road. So anyway, let's get started. But first, I just want to go ahead and do my traditional update here for you folks. A couple of quick things. One, I hope everybody's doing well, that you're going forward with your real estate investing, and it's just going gangbusters here. You know, I want to let you guys know, first off, we have a ton of resources at our website, olddogsreinetwork.com. We have over 200, almost 250 episodes of podcasts with both guests and me doing these Fun Fact Fridays. I have over 100 blog articles. There's all kinds of other resources, recommended books and things like that that you can look at, even recommendations for training programs. We don't do training, but we recommend them. So there's some good stuff on there. If I were you, I'd go to our website. I would first thing I'd do when I get there is sign up for our newsletter so that you can get updates on all the neat stuff and some of the great guests we have coming up. Do like a topic search. You know, there's a little thing that looks like a magnifying glass on there that you can click on, and you can type in anything you want. You could type in syndication. You could type in out-of-state investing. You could put in things like, I mean, whatever you want, you know, 401ks, whatever it may be. And you can find all the resources we have on those as they pertain to real estate investing. So that is really like a cool thing. And you can get all that free information anytime you want. Also, you know, I want to let you guys know, too, that in order to do this, we do ask folks to send their questions to us. So I do invite you to do that. But I do, at the same time, want to let people know that I can't always get to every question right away. And if you haven't received an answer to a question you've sent, maybe it just got lost in the mire. And that does happen, unfortunately, as much as we try to organize that part of it, we get tons of emails. So send it again. Maybe in the subject title, you'll say second time or second notice, you know, so I'll think, oh my gosh, it's a bill I didn't pay or something. No, but you know, that's always a good thing to do. What else do I want to say? Oh yeah, you know what? We're kind of launching this thing in September and October that if you go to iTunes, we want you to go to iTunes, look up Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast and subscribe if you haven't subscribed. If you've already subscribed, hey, don't go. Stay there and put in a review for the show, because this is really an important thing for us, because it gets what we do. And again, we don't do anything here for, you know, we're not making money doing this. We are doing this as a service to folks that really are seriously looking for some good information. And we gladly do that. And we thank you for that. And so we, at the same time, though, we would love if you guys could give us good reviews. And, you know, I mentioned this the last time, and my buddy Adam, okay, he's a guy who I actually answered one of his questions on the Ask Bill segment, and he went in there and gave us a good review. And so I am going to start doing this. Okay, if you do this, I will read your review on the air. Okay, during September and October, if you do it, and so we'll have a shout out to you too. And we'd love to be able to do that. We're just trying to get folks to get in there and do this. We don't ask for anything on this show, but I am asking for something. Okay, so do that. That'd be cool. Okay, so also anything else we want to say? Did that? Okay, little update for you here. I did talk to you about some Airbnb fiascos that I had in my last Fun Fact Friday. And, we had water flooding into one of our Airbnbs. We had another guy whose Wi-Fi wasn't working. Well, you know, it all worked out. And that's usually the case. A lot of us get really discouraged and frustrated. We get a property and, oh man, something happens. And I just had it with real estate. I'm selling this property. I'm getting out of this. You know, it always does work out in the long run. At least that's what I'm finding. And I've got multi-families, I got single families, I got, you know, all over the different parts of the country here. And, it does work out. And so, you know, we were able to fix the problem. The guy's happy. He didn't leave. We did renegotiate the rent a little bit here. And, but that's fine. The Wi-Fi guy got his Wi-Fi fixed. Everything comes together. But you have days where sometimes it all happens, you know, where it just piles up. So don't get discouraged, okay? Really, be encouraged, because real estate investing rocks, okay? Let's get into our questions here. First question, this is about investing through a 401k. Here's the question. Bill, thank you very much. I listen to your podcast all the time, and I want to thank you for all the knowledge you provide. Also, I want to ask you the following questions regarding how to invest in real estate with retirement accounts. And this is a three-parter here. I will go ahead with the first one, and I'll go all three, and then I'll give you three different answers. It says, I'm 57 and I'm in a position to withdraw from my 401k because I no longer with the employer which set up my 401k. However, if I use my retirement funds from my 401k, IRS will consider any withdrawal from my 401k as income. So if I invest $200K from my 401k, the IRS will take as income, and at the end of the year, I will be in a much higher tax bracket. How can I avoid that? Okay, well, I will be answering that. I'll answer it right now because I think it's kind of better to do that. Okay, so the answer is, Antonio, first off, I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for your very kind words. First, I will do my qualifier here, my disclaimer. I am not an attorney or a CPA, so take that in context here. And I did get some help with this with some 401k expert that I know that gave me some good stuff too. So keeping that in mind, the answer to your first question regarding how not to be taxed on the money you withdraw from your 401k. The answer, you don't have to take a distribution from your retirement account to invest in real estate. You can set up a self-directed IRA or solo 401k and do a direct rollover from your old 401k, which will not have any tax implications. Then you can buy real estate inside of your self-directed retirement account. You never have to take it out. It literally, I mean, they consider it inside. So you take 200, you give it to buy that property. And what it does is you end up, you know, owning that property. But you got to keep in mind, all the income from that property goes back into your 401k or your IRA. So it all stays in there, but it just grows like really fast. And it's a great way to build up your resources and your portfolio in a short period of time. Okay, second part of his question here, and that is regarding estate planning, how can I structure the ownership of the real estate that I want to buy from my 401k in such a way that in the event of my passing, the real estate passes to my family? I was told to use a self-directed IRA, but I understand that to use self-directed IRA or 401k, the deeds have to be in the name of the self-directed IRA or 401k to avoid penalties and be in compliance. But what happens to the ownership in the event of my passing? Will it work if I place as beneficiary of the self-directed IRA or 401k a trust for my family? Okay, well, let's give you the answer here. Just like with any other retirement account, when you open self-directed IRAs or 401ks, you will be required to designate a beneficiary. If you pass away, the beneficiary, it can be an individual or a trust, will inherit the IRA with all of its assets. As the new owner of the IRA, the beneficiary will have full control over those assets. Also, I would highly recommend setting up a living trust. This is something that I do personally here. And the great thing about a living trust is you can have all of your, you know, you have these LLCs, right, that you set up your accounts with. All your LLCs go directly into your trust. So when that happens, if anything happens to you, okay, and again, I'm not an attorney, but this is what it is in the state of California, 100% of those assets go directly to the surviving spouse. So this is a great way to avoid probate, and in California, probate is horrible. I mean, they'll take 50% right off the top without even talking about it. So that's a great thing to do too. Let's go to the third part of his question here is, do you know of any institutions that where I can open a self-directed retirement account, 401k or IRA? And so I'm going to give a little shout out here for my buddy who was on this show, episode 131, Dmitry Formanchenko. Now, he has a great organization called Sense Financial, and it's a financial firm that specializes in self-directed retirement accounts with checkbook control. So you could just write checks and it's great. The founder, as I mentioned, is Dmitry Formanchenko, and he was a guest on episode 131. And because you're an old dog listener, let him know that you can call, you get a complimentary consultation. So you find out everything that's involved, whatever the fees are and all that kind of stuff. You can even ask a lot of questions about, you know, such as the questions we answered today. Just tell them I sent you, okay? And you get a complimentary consultation. Let's move on to question number two. Okay, this is about out-of-state investing. This comes from Veronica. She says, hi, Bill. My name is Veronica. I'm a 49-year-old single mom of five with two more kids left at home. They are 11 and 14. I know what she means, that they're two still at the house. Okay, I just purchased my first single-family rental last October in Sacramento, California. I really wish I knew what I'd learned up to now. Back then, I had been reading lots of books and listening to Bigger Pockets. I love Bigger Pockets too, but you know, you also got to listen to Old Dogs too. It's a good one. Anyway, I came across the podcast you were on and found your website. I've been listening to your podcast. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for what you're doing to help so many people. My goal is to create enough passive income to retire early and have college tuition for my kids. I would like to get started in out-of-state investing in multifamily properties. Smart girl. I just finished David Green's book, Long Distance Real Estate Investing. I live in California where prices are too high, so I want to invest out of state. I was wondering if you could give me some tips on what locations to start looking in. I'm looking for a state that is landlord friendly with good rental cash flow potential. I'm lacking the confidence of knowing which markets to invest in from out of state and where to start. I will be using my HELOC, which is basically a loan against her existing equity in her home, for down payments and leveraging with bank loans. Your advice would be so much appreciated. Well, thank you, Veronica, for your email and for listening to our show. And congratulations on your bold step in real estate investing. I am a father of seven. I can appreciate your motivation to see real estate investing as a means to attain financial independence and to help out your children's education. I also have two children staying at home, a boy, Kenson, age 14. And here's a little plug. He's actually the voice of the kid rapping in the background with our Wrap It Up sections, segments on our Monday shows. Yep, that's my son, Kenson. And I have an 18-year-old girl, Francesca, who is a senior in high school. They both were adopted while we were living in Haiti. So they're our Haitian babies, and we love them to death. College is a big concern for them. They both, fortunately, are very gifted athletes. And Francesca is a sprinter in track and field. And Kenny, my son, is a freshman running back, starting running back, okay, for a high school football team. We have been praying that they can help leverage that strong athletic ability for college scholarships, along with cash flow that'll come from our properties. I also have three out of four daughters who are not yet married. I have three boys, one Jordan already on his own and father of two of my two beautiful granddaughters, and another Elijah who just started out in college in Idaho, who also wants to become a real estate investor and is currently seeking a property to house hack. So with all that saying, enough about me there. I know that, but I, you know, I and all that to say is I've got these expenses that are going to keep coming here. So what's so cool about real estate investing? Well, this is where you can get the funds to be able to cover those kinds of things. Not only can you take care of your own retirement, but you can meet family expenses like college, like weddings, if you have three daughters that aren't yet married, that may be in their agenda as we go along here. Maybe even help your kids purchase their first homes. That's right. But your rental properties can also become a legacy that you can pass on to your kids after you're gone, which is awesome. So that is really some important stuff to know. And also, you know, first, I just want to thank you for David Green's book. It's the first time I'd heard about it. I looked into it, love it, and trying to get him on the show. So thanks for that little information there. But anyway, on to answering this question. And there are multiple parts in this. One of them is about out-of-state investing. Obviously, a big believer in out-of-state investing. That's what I do. But you need to be prepared. And some of the biggest challenges include, you know, finding the right properties in the right market. And how do you do this? You know, I've talked a lot about emerging markets here. You want to look for parts of the country where there are local economies, where there are a low unemployment, a variety of strong employers from a broad range of industries. This means, you know, you can increase your rents down the road and you can build equity at the same time. So you got to look for emerging markets. Some people buy turnkey on their first properties. I did it, but unfortunately, it was not a great experience for me. And I know it sounds great, you know, but you know, there's a lot of issues involved. And unfortunately for me, I had four different companies that I dealt with, and they all were unfortunately didn't work out well. But I'm not saying that all turnkeys are bad. I think there's some good ones out there. I just didn't happen to use them when I started. All I'm saying is you really need to do your due diligence first before you do purchase a turnkey property. Your other option is to find the property yourself and to build your own team. That's very realistic, is to, you know, visit an area. You know, after you've kind of done all your research with your finding an emerging market, you go to that market and you travel around and you meet people. You set up appointments with brokers and with agents and people, even property managers in that area, and start understanding a little bit better about what's going on. And as you do that, you're going to latch on to some people that hopefully, especially if it's an agent or a broker, who is diligently looking for the right properties for you that will meet your criteria. And so that's really, really an important thing. Then you've got to build the right team. You know, the property management I mentioned it's key and by far the most important. Whether, you know, it's provided by a turnkey company or not, you need to look at that. And that's really important. So I've got some links in here that I've given you, episodes that I talk about property manager. One's called Finding the Best Property Manager. Another one is Hiring the Right Property Manager for Your Rental Property. 10 questions to ask as you're interviewing property managers. Also too, you know, putting together your team, it's important. In a state that you're investing in, you have to have an attorney in that state who that's a requirement of owning property there. And so, they'll be the ones that can help you set up your LLC possibly. Also, you're going to need an agent or a broker and title and escrow people as well. So I've got some good links in there. So I got tips on successful out-of-state investing, pros and cons of out-of-state investing, building a great out-of-state team, and why I buy out-of-state properties. Pick the right landlord-friendly state and city, okay? I talk a lot about emerging markets on this program because I think that's key. But again, do your research. You know, the markets are changing. In previous episodes, I've highlighted some of the areas that are hot places to buy. So you asked, you know, not only what are some of the landlord-friendly states, but, you know, what are the good states to invest in that are emerging? So I've included three links in, and again, this will be in the show notes, all the links I'm talking about here. One of them is on how to find hot emerging markets for the best deals. I do so my top 10 emerging markets for 2018, top 15 fastest growing submarkets. So those are some good references you can get as to where to buy. But I also talk about landlord-friendly states. very important for out-of-state investors. For example, in states that are not so friendly to landlords, including California, New York, Illinois, and New Jersey, to name a few, if a renter is, say, maybe they're hot water, they're without hot water for some reason, they can legally withhold their rent, the entire amount of their rent, until it's fixed, or pay to fix it and deduct that from the rent. Well, that may not be the way you want to manage your properties. In another city, Baltimore, Maryland, the eviction process can take at least 3 months, often longer, while the landlord must carry the mortgage and the tenant simply lives for free. When a judge agrees, you know, to allow an eviction to move forward, the landlord is not automatically granted a money judgment. They have to apply through another court process to recover past due. For many Baltimore landlords, it's not worth the trouble. In California, an evicted tenant can sometimes, and I've heard this story, can stay a year rent-free through the eviction process. You're paying the mortgage, you've got no income coming in for that unit, and we suffer. Here's a list of some of the more landlord-friendly states, and you might want to know about this. So as you're looking at emerging markets, they also happen to coincide, at least some of these, with some of those emerging markets. So my list, top nine list here is Texas, Indiana, Colorado, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, Arizona, Florida, and Arkansas. Those are some of the top ones. And then I talk more about landlord-friendly states in a special episode, number 34, that's called Landlord-Friendly States. So you remember I talked to you earlier about how to search for information. That's the way to do it, okay? Is go into our search, look for that little magnifying glass, click on it, and type in landlord-friendly states. You'll find it, okay? Or you can just go to the show notes and click on the link, and that's a fast way too. Okay, final question, number three. And this is about closed circuit TV and house moms. And this one is from Melissa. Hey, Bill, I just listened to your house mom show. What kind of camera system did you put in? Our property manager wants us to do a cloud-based system, and I certainly see the benefit of that. But does it add additional monthly costs? We have a DVD system in another property. Just curious about what you went with. This is on a 44 unit. We are struggling with the same thing, with needing more eyes on the property. We are looking for a part-time on-site manager. How do you compensate your house mom? Okay, so there's a couple of different things here. Okay, first off, she talks about the system, and I will tell you this. Our system is on our 22 unit is not a cloud-based system. We have what's called a WBox. That's the sort of the software behind it. Dahua. It's a 16-channel that has DVR with a 1 terabyte hard drive system. Now you can upgrade that to 2 or 4 terabytes, whatever you want to do. That's what stores your data. So if you have an incident that happens, you can go back and you can look through the tapes, so to speak. There aren't really tapes, but you can look through the data files, and you can find, you know, people that were running through the halls, you know, spray painting or doing whatever. Because we have 3 floors, we've installed 13 cameras, but it can handle up to 16. This is our particular one. But we did have to sign up a separate account with Spectrum to be our internet provider, because in order to really view these, like I can get up to 16 screens. I think I can get even more on my laptop or on my, even on my phone to look at all the different cameras. You know, you need to have the right amount of bandwidth. So Spectrum was able to provide us 100 Mbps upload and download speed. So so that worked out pretty good. And so far, it has actually been excellent. You know, granted, after a certain period of time, you know, you fill up that hard drive and it'll replace it with the most current data. So if you start, you know, if you don't have, I should probably have more terabytes, but I got one. But I can go back like a week or so pretty well and be able to check things out. If I really want to go back and, you know, a year's time, I don't know that I could do that with 1 terabyte. Also, you know, what's really been cool is that since I've had that installed, we had some major incidents, and if you look at some of our past Fun Fact Fridays, I share some of those horror stories. But it allowed us, because of this monitoring system, to actually go back and view and to see tenants that were not only violating their lease, but some were actually breaking the law. And we were able to evict five tenants from our building, and that's a lot out of a 22-unit building. But boy, it just made life so much better there, and we're really glad. And it was really that system that helped us out. Now, regarding your question about house moms, how do we compensate her? Well, we worked out a deal where we basically did an exchange that she gets free rent, which, you know, cost me $450 a month for the studio apartment she's living in exchange for a series of things that is expected of her here as our house mom. And I have a much more detailed explanation of what that is in an agreement letter that I developed for her that is in our house mom episode. And you can look that up. There's also going to be a link, but you can look that up just by typing in house mom and looking on our website. And you can see the details of that arrangement with her. She has a 90-day probationary period, and we're not through that yet, but we have had so far a great experience. It has, honestly, I can say thus far, it has worked out well for us and for her. It's been great for her. She's an artist. So, you know, she doesn't have to worry about, oh, I got to sell, 100 paintings before I can, pay rent. She's got the, she can actually focus on the artistic side of things, and she's got a free place to stay. And she does have to pay utilities and, any additional costs there. But she at least has free rent. So it worked out really good. And she's a bulldog, man. She gets in there, and when there's problems or issues with tenants, she has no problem. And so it's been really good for me. Well, anyway, I definitely ran a little bit longer than usual here because I had these pretty extensive questions and answers. But that is really it for today. I just want to note, old dog listeners, everything presented here, and there are a ton of links in here on the show notes. You can find those show notes at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And just look for the latest Ask Bill episode. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.